It is amazing to me how often when I buy a new piece of technology, whether it's a TV or a computer or a new phone, it's amazing to me how often the first thing I do is take that thing out of the box and try to put it together until I get stuck. And then when I've messed everything up, then all of a sudden I grab the instruction book and kind of think to myself, okay, what, please, in humility, just I want to learn. Teach me how to set up this computer or this TV. And in life, it is amazing to me how often people bang their heads against the wall so many times. And obviously, when we're young, we don't think about it. But when we're old, we see how many mistakes people and we have made and wish we could have just done it differently if we had just read the instruction manual. The Bible has been left for us that we might know how to live, that we might know the God who created us, that we might know who man really is, and that we might know how to tap in to the resources that God has provided for us. And here we find ourselves in a verse 21, where it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, or better yet, in the fear of Christ. Nothing causes more problems in this world between relationships than rebellion. Self-will. Just, I want this right now. And in nobody is it more evident than in little kids. You know, there comes a point where a little kid in his immaturity just says, I want, and they will cry, and they will scream, and they will connive until they get what they want. And the worst thing that can happen within a person's life is when that is not broken. Because the worst thing you can have is an adult that is a baby and just wants, and whatever it wants, it's going to get. And the antithesis of this is submission. And it says, submit yourselves one to another. Now, we have it manifested. Now, very practically, we looked at the fact that it is be filled with the Spirit of God, submitting one to another in the fear of Christ. And we have these things coming now very close to home. We've been to the heavenlies with everything that God has done, but now it's going to be worked out practically in our daily life. You see, it's very easy to have a sort of mental imagination of what love is. Julio Iglesias writes about love all the time. He has been divorced several times. The philosophers, the poets, they write about love, but they can't seem to keep a relationship. And here we're going to be brought to one of the secrets of humanity in order for people that are human beings relating to one another. The secret of success is submitting one to the other. We looked at it in a negative sense. And we looked at the fact that it has to be by the power of the Spirit that we submit to one another. The natural man does not want to submit to anybody. The natural man is a rebel at heart. And some people boast about that. I'm a rebel at heart. Oh, great. What if everyone in the world was like you? Because it's so innocent, it's incredible how innocent rebellion is. As long as it's us doing it and not somebody else. When somebody else does it, whenever they hit somebody in the street with a car and rebellion says, I'm out of here, we cry out, how can that be? So in a sense, rebellion is so innocent when we do it, but such a criminal act when somebody else does it. And it is only the Spirit of God, I believe, that can deal with the rebellions of our heart. So when we're talking about marriage relationships and submitting, the best marriage in the world is a marriage that is governed by the Spirit of God. When we talk about children with parents, the child and the father and mother, as they ought to be, are people that are governed by the Spirit of God. When we look at businesses and the employee-employer relationship, the best relationship is the one that is submitted and in dominion of the Spirit of God. And we looked at what it is not. The person, we looked at the fact that submitting, it means being subject to one another, not acting independent. And we looked at the fact that when a person is filled with the Spirit, he must not be thoughtless, just sort of acting spontaneous without thinking how it affects other people. He must not be selfish or self-centered. Just all that matters is me. I remember when I was a kid, oh man, I can't even communicate some of the things that just flushed my mind. But I remember when I was a kid, my mom was the means of me getting what I wanted. All that was important was me. As a matter of fact, I was so egocentric that I believed that life finished anywhere I was not. So when I moved to America, I believed that life in Mallorca ceased. Honestly, this is crazy, isn't it? When I came back to Mallorca, I believed that it picked up only because I was there. And that is how selfish we can be. And it is the first thing that God dealt with in my life when he filled me with his Spirit was to break the self-will. What's the use of a stallion? What's the use of a horse if it is a wild horse? But when a horse is broken, that is when it becomes useful. And I remember people looking at me saying, oh, that Raphael, he's a great guy, but he's wild. But if the Spirit gets a hold of him, I remember hearing that, just in hearsay, somebody saying that about me. And I'm just thinking, and I was thinking, but there was a battle, obviously, me. And there was another that's saying, Lord, if you can make me more useful by captivating my will, by all means, break it. I had had that done by force, not by the Spirit of God before, but by the army. I told you that last week. The army, the first thing they did to do to you is break your selfishness and your self-will. But also, the man filled with the Spirit is not individualistic. He doesn't think independent. He doesn't think about just acting as an individual. Although he's unique as a person, he sees himself as part of something bigger. I told you about that in boot camp, that would be insubordination. You would be greatly punished for acting individually. You have to realize that you're part of a team. I don't know if we looked at this, but in a soccer game, who wants a player that is a lone player? There's players that are incredibly skillful, but the coach will not give them a minute on the court or on the field unless they learn how to play with the team. It just won't happen because no matter how skillful you are, you cannot win unless you're a team player. And that takes submission. You know, Beckham, you take Ronaldo, you take Casillas, you take Raul, you take Ronaldinho, you take any player that has ever played, no matter how powerful or how strong they are, they will not get a minute on court if they're individualistic. It's that individual that works with other individuals that becomes a powerhouse. And in marriage, who wants an individualistic husband? Who wants an individualistic wife? In work, Who wants an individualistic employee within family? Who wants people that just act individualistic? But the beauty of it is when we see that we complement one another. We're part of a unit. And we must cease. We saw that the person filled with the Spirit must cease to be self-assertive, just acting, demanding his will. We saw that the Christian, although he might have strong opinions and good opinions, will never be opinionated. He will always be able to listen to somebody else's point of view and not conceited about what he believes about stuff. He, in a sense, more in love about the fact that he believes than on the thing believed. He's just proud.